Welcome to Freed on Business. He grew up in South Florida, has been in business here since the early 90s, and has closed over $1 billion in deals. He's seen it all. He always has an opinion, and he's always ready to share it. Informed, entertaining, and connected, he has his finger on the pulse of South Florida's business community. He's Jim Freed, and this is Freed on Business.
All right. We've got a great show for everybody today. We're waiting for Casey Conley to sign in. We're going to talk to Casey about what's going on today in the real estate world. Casey sits on top of the information silo at the CCIM. He's an expert on the supply chain. And we're going to make sure that we have a tremendous show for everybody. We're going to get started right now with a little message from our friends at Warren Henry. Remember, everybody, make sure that you hit up Warren Henry. Reagan, take us away. We'll be right back with more Freed on Business. Casey Conway is dialing in right now.
Living in a lonely world, he took the midnight train going anywhere. Just a city boy, born and raised in South Detroit. He took the midnight train going.
All right, everybody. Everybody, make sure you go to Warren Henry. Warren Henry's open. They're an essential industry. And hey, when you're looking to buy or lease a car, you want to get every advantage that you can. That's why you have to check out Warren Henry, Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, and Jaguar. They've got a great Audi store in Gainesville and down in Key West. Well, gosh darn it, their store has everything down there. What do they all have? Well, they're all great cars, and they all come with a Warren Henry Advantage. That means complimentary service loaner, dynamic wheel protection, key replacement, guaranteed repurchase offer, best value guarantee, and the 72-hour exchange. If you don't like your car, you got 3 days to return it, but guess what? You're going to love your car. So join me, my mom, and my beautiful wife, Vivian. We're all members of the Warren Henry family. You should be too. Always the best price, always the best service, always Warren Henry.
To stop the hate and spread some love.
You are beautiful. You are smart. You are brave.
It's actually pretty easy.
We have a voice. We have the power.
We have so much strength when we come together. It's your choice.
So choose to be inspired. Choose to be accepting.
Be strong. Be daring. Be awesome. Be kind.
Choose kindness.
Choose kindness.
Choose kindness.
All right, everybody, if you need cash, I've got it. Maybe you need a residential mortgage. You go, why do I need a residential mortgage? Well, rates are real low. Time to refinance. I'm saving one of my friends $1,500 a month on his deal. I've got other friends that are refinancing right now. Other people looking to buy homes, and I'm doing the purchase analysis for them. If you've got somebody that's a foreign national who wants to buy a home, I can help, or a condo too. So give me a call at 305-773-6300. Why? Because when you call me, it's all about you.
Welcome back to Freed on Business. Connect with us on Facebook and Twitter at Jim Freed or at Freed on Business, and on Instagram at Jim Freed One. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we are getting ready to really learn something here on Freed on Business. We've got Casey Conway on. Casey was on with me right after Friday the 13th, which I usually use Friday the 13th of March as the demarcation line for when the COVID-19 recession, depression, economic uncertainty started. So here we're with Casey. We wanted to make sure Casey came with us on the show once we were starting and then you had some time to get some good information. So, Casey, what's up? What's going on? Welcome back to the show. What's with you, Casey? Oh, very cute. Very cute. Welcome back, Casey. What's up?
Great, Jerry. Great to be back with you and your listeners. Great show. You're the best.
Thank you. Now, you know, I'm talking about everybody's in the real estate industry. A lot of people are new. It's been about 10 years since we had any kind of real estate correction. People are freaking out. They're blaming people. This is just sort of normal. It's just we didn't know what was going to do it, but we kind of knew what we were going to do.
Yeah, so what are we going to do?
What's going on? What are we going to do here, Casey? What's happening?
So I'm going to date myself and you, Jimmy. I just wrote a piece this morning called Are We There Yet? So we all want to know. Look, we're reopening the states. You know, the virus is going to go away. Everything's going to be fine. Everybody congregate on those beaches down there in Naples and South Florida. And are we there yet? And so it reminded me, going back to my youth, baby boom generation will relate to this. The way we used to travel is we'd pile everybody into that big, massive, phony paneled station wagon, the pre minivan vehicle, and we'd go on a road trip. And what would the kids say in the back of that station wagon with the fold up seats painted with lead paint and the carbon monoxide coming in the back window? We just wanted to know, are we there yet, Mom and Dad?
That's it, man. And Casey, where are we? Because you know we've had a tremendous correction. Now the states are opening up. You're seeing that there's a potential impact when they do that. I don't know that I'm ready to come out yet. How about you?
I'm not touching that question.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. Out of seclusion and quarantine.
All right.
Not that there's anything wrong with the other one either.
No, it's fine. So, you know, I wrote a piece last week, you know, helping people understand there's not a right or wrong answer in state reopenings. We just have to understand what's going on. We were doing a risk-based analysis on, you know, weighing the risk of public health against economic damage. And the states and the federal government don't have an endless pot of money to go shelter in place in perpetuity. But we know. They thought they did. Yeah, you in Florida keep saying you have 90 weeks of unemployment insurance in your trust. We know what the red shoe economists would call that, barbecue sauce. You're just not paying it out. But anyway, we're weighing that risk. We don't have testing. We don't have adequate testing. We don't have a vaccine. We have states going in a very unequal way in reopening. You know, we saw what happened down there in Naples this week. We saw what happened out in Colorado with they opened up the cannabis bars and they went crazy. It's a very unequal pattern. New Jersey saying we're going to stay sheltered in place. Other states are saying we're out of unemployment insurance funds. And so we're really, governors are making that decision state by state. What public health risks are we willing to take? Because we're out of money. We can't afford the economic damage. We can't afford 22.5% unemployment. That's what we have right now. Just think of that. One in four Americans are out of work or furloughed right now. That's unprecedented.
That's reported. They're in the workforce. How about my mom that was basically forced to retire because she can't go back to work because she's 82 and she works in a hospital? You know, how about me? I'm self-employed, you know?
Yeah. The good news is the CARES bill did do something fundamental. For the first time ever, they included 1099 workers and self-employed in unemployment insurance. And that's why some of these numbers, you can't really compare them to historic because we got more inclusive. But at least they did recognize small business and entrepreneurs are a big part of the economy, and you can't just leave them out on their own. The CEO had a real good statistics on that. And you know, he says, look, it's somewhere around 50 million Americans have a sole proprietor business that contributes as much as a half to the household income. And they were toast and they didn't have medical insurance. So I will compliment this. Usually I'm a pretty good critic on the Federal Reserve and it was there during the last rodeo. I am so grateful that I'm not part of the rodeo this time in New York. But last time in the financial crisis, very different than what we have here. That was a liquidity crisis, and the Fed took a top-down approach, put all the money in the banks, hoped they'd behave well, and put it out to everybody. How well did that turn out? Millions of foreclosures, the money didn't trickle down. They were slow to lower rates. They were slow to do the policy intervention after Lehman. So this time around, the Fed said, look, we're going to zero right away. We're going to tell the banks keep lending. We're going to intervene with Freddie and Fannie and the GSEs. We're going to buy municipal bonds. We're going to create corporate paper. We're now going to have this Main Street Fund. So the Fed has said, we're not going to wait to figure this out. We're going to throw everything at it we have. And that's great. We really have a different type of Fed this time around. The only concern I have, Jimmy, is we had less than $4 trillion on the Fed's balance sheet when we started this thing at the beginning of the year. It's now at $7 trillion. Chairman Powell said that in his April press conference that he would take it to $12 trillion by the end of the year. And he said today he has no problem taking it to $20 trillion. So here's the problem that we all have to keep in mind. We all know this is unprecedented. We all need different levels of support and help. But 2 to 3 years down the road, we got to remember we're a fiat currency. That means we have nothing backing our currency. And the way the Fed puts his money out and puts things on his balance sheet, it doesn't sell or manufacture anything. It just calls Mnuchin over at Treasury and says, print money. And we get inflation from two sources, commodities and asset prices, which are declining. And the other one is the value of your currency. And we know from Latin American debt crises and Argentina and Brazil and other places in the world that if you just print money and you devalue your currency, you have massive inflation. And the last time we saw a fiat currency collapse was Germany after World War I. 1919, the trade to the dollar to the mark was 12 marks to the dollar. 4 years later, 1923, it was 4.2 trillion marks to the dollar. That's what we got to worry about 2-3 years from now, as we see Congress right now saying, hey, let's just throw another $3 or $4 trillion at the problem.
Look, the other difference is that this is consumer driven. Our recovery is going to be consumer driven. That's why they have to drive all the money out to people and make sure it gets in their hands. Where is it? I got mine right there.
You got your check?
Donald Trump. He sends a letter. He signs a check, then 2 days later, you get a letter from the Treasury signed by him. Congratulations, you got your check. Yeah, I know I got my check. Yep. Also, I got PPE, so they got me twice, as a business person and as a solo person. Yep. Now they're talking about giving this $2,000 a month to each person. Actually, would really help. It would give confidence to the consumer and hopefully get them out of their house and back out there.
Well, I'll tell you what's going to get the ultimate confidence. There's interim steps we have to take. And why I wrote this piece, Are We There Yet?, was to basically answer the question today. We're nowhere close. It's just like when Lehman failed in September 2008. We were nowhere close 2, 3, 4 quarters later to understanding what we had to deal with, how to respond, and how to deal with years of economic carnage. We're in that same position. We're one quarter, we're 120 days into this thing. We still don't have testing. We still don't have a vaccine. And here's what I think we're ultimately going to end up with. And we're already seeing it in Europe. Germany is completely reopened. Shanghai has opened up Disney in Asia. Europe is reopening, but they're doing it with what they call an immunity passport. And so this is where basically you've got to, show evidence that you're safe to go out, that you're not asymptomatic, that you're, you either have had it and you've got the, you've got the immunity to go back out into the, into public places. So here's where we're going to end up with it. Many people don't realize that the CLEAR system, where we became accustomed to the airport, started as a medical records technology. They have the platform and the ability to upload all of our medical records, including our vaccinations and whatnot. I'm a diabetic. I finger stick, and now I've got a thing in my arm that I do with my phone and know where I'm at. We are going to have something like that within a year, just like the TSA pre-check system and everything else after 9/11, in which we will have a home test kit where we will take a swab out of our mouth and we'll put it into a little thing like I've got my glucose meter. And it will tell us whether we have a virus or whether we're good to travel out in public. That'll give us something we can upload to our phone. It'll be part of our CLEAR system that we can go to the airport. We can go to work. We can go to concert venues. We can go to a football game. We can reengage as a society. Until we get to that point, we are not there yet. And that is at least a year, maybe 2 years away.
Wow. Well, let me talk like a libertarian for a minute. Wow. So they're going to know where I am, what I'm doing, what I feel like. Will they know what color underwear I'm wearing?
Absolutely. We are massively giving up our controls of our privacy and our information. But think about it, Jimmy. Think about what we weren't willing to give up after 9/11 and the shock that 9/11 and how much information and privacy we gave up, after 9/11 to be a TSA pre-check. They got a fingerprint. They got a retinal eye scan. They knew everything about where we were traveling and where we were going and our criminal records. And now we're going to add the medical component to that. And I think that's the only thing that's going to give the public the confidence to say, if I gather at work, if I'm in a factory, if I go into a major public setting or an urban city, I want confidence that the people that are entering there are free from virus, that they've had their flu shot or whatever future pandemic. And I think it's the next step, the next erosion of public privacy as we deal with the new risk management issue, which is public health.
Well, hold on. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to find out what Casey thinks about the impact of the anti-vaxxers on that one. take it away. I'm up, kid. We're going to talk about a lot of good things. Casey's a supply chain expert. You're seeing your prices rise in the grocery store. You ain't seen nothing yet. We'll hear about that from Casey also. Reagan, take it away. This is just tremendous. I'm having a great time. Wow, good song. We don't know the road we're going down this time, but I do know one thing for sure, that if you're looking to buy a car or lease a car, you should call Warren Henry. I'm actually going to go over there tomorrow or the next day and film their procedures and stuff. I was there right after the 13th, and it was great. I really love going there. I love the people there. It's clean. It's safe. It's a wonderful thing. It's interesting that that's the way you start the ad off now. Hey, everybody, when you're looking to buy or lease a car, you want to get every advantage that you can. That's why you have to check out Warren Henry, Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, and Jaguar. Oh, I love their e-car that they got there with the Jaguar. They're all great cars. They all come with the Warren Henry advantage. Oh, and don't forget the Audi store in Gainesville and Key West store. They got everything down there. What's the Warren Henry advantage? Besides the fact that you become a part of their family, you really do. Complimentary service loaner, dynamic wheel protection, key replacement, guaranteed purchase offer, best value guarantee. My personal favorite, the 72-hour exchange where you can take 3 days to make sure you love your car. So join me, my mom, and my beautiful wife, Vivian, and a lot of my friends, too. We're all members of the Warren Henry family. You should be too. Always the best service, for sure. Always the price, best price, they guarantee it. Always Warren Henry.
It's time to stop the hate and spread some love. You are beautiful, you're smart, you are awesome, and you never have to change for anybody. You have the voice and you have the power. We are so much stronger when we come together. It's your choice, so choose to be inspired. Choose to be accepting, be strong, be brave, be awesome, be daring, be kind. Choose kindness.
That's all right, everybody. Choose kindness. And if you choose to get a real estate loan, give me a call at 305-773-6300. People go, Jim, what are you doing now that the economy's changed? I told Casey, Casey's fun with the background. Casey's moving his backgrounds there on the, anyway, give me a call because I'm helping folks get money out of their house to put into their business or their bank accounts, or to lower their interest rate. One of my friends is getting $1,500 a month better interest just on a loan I did from last year. He's refinancing. Cash out, rate refinance, buying something new, talking to a lot of people moving out of their rental apartments, trying to buy a house in a place where they can roam a little bit. Give me a call at 305-773-6300. Why? Because when you call me, it's always all about you.
Welcome back to Freed on Business. Connect with us on Facebook and Twitter at Jim Freed or at Freed on Business, and on Instagram at Jim Freed One. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we're back on Freed on Business. We're on Zoom talking to Casey Conway. Casey's a big shot economist, knows everybody, talks to Fred Smith, talks to me. We talk about everything all the time. He really is my window to the world. He's an academic that knows how to translate it into English. Casey, welcome back. There's all kinds of things we could talk about, but I know that we're not really there yet. We talked about when we're going to get there with the immunization passports, the Big Brother thing, 1984. What are some of the things we're going to see change in the supply chain? Because the supply chain's been drastically altered. Between all the food going to the restaurants, now people, it's going to their homes. The restaurants aren't coming back so fast. How's the supply chain changing? And what's the impact on our personal lives and real estate? How's that for a all-in-one question?
Man, you need to take a breath. So great question. So one of the things I've been telling people is get ready for logistics 2.0. So just like after the financial crisis, we had CMBS 2.0 to fix all that was broken in securitization of real estate. We're going to see the same in logistics and supply chain. So let me give you the first one that may shock people. So LA, Long Beach used to be the busiest container port in North America. Guess what? They aren't anymore. Is Port Laredo. And Port Laredo did it in January and February before the outbreak, and it's only accelerated. And I think what we're going to see is our supply chain have more of a north-south flow as we not just reshore manufacturing from Asia, because the rest of the world is pretty irritated, not for the fact that China had a virus outbreak. Anybody can have one, but they didn't tell us the truth, and they're still not telling us the truth. They're telling us that they have, you know, less than 200,000 cases. They sent that many workers that were infected back to Italy to work in the Italian companies they bought so they could say they're still Italian made that they bought in the preceding years. So what we're going to see is, I think, more of this manufacturing come back to North America, but it's going to go into Mexico. They don't have to deal with the EPA. They don't have to deal with a lot of the regulatory requirements that we do to put a plate, put a new, you know, project in place. You know, Jimmy, try to permit a new warehouse or factory in South Florida. Good freaking luck. That's a technical term.
So then we're going to go back to the 60s and 70s when everything was made in Mexico. And Mexico was the lower cost service provider. And we're going to integrate them into our supply chain. So wait a minute, then. If things are going to go north and south, then South Florida is going to have a pretty good reemergence, too.
This is very bullish for Florida. So we're really going to deal war with our allies, our hemisphere that we're friendly with. We're going to put more of the supply chain and the manufacturing in places that it's not all in one place. I mean, when you think of it, we didn't know we had all our PPE. We didn't know we had all our pharmaceutical. We knew we had a lot of manufacturing, but we didn't know we had everything damn in China. And that's not going to happen again. And Trump was already bringing a light into that with the tariffs. And we were discovering how we had to redo supply chain when you tick off your biggest manufacturing entity. So logistics 2.0, remember where you heard it first. Port Laredo just surpassed LA Long Beach. The other thing that's going to happen, we're going to have new influences on industrial and supply chain that are going to accelerate this property type. We're going to have a thing called supply stock. So we've discovered that the 1980s model of just-in-time inventory management from the Japanese, well, that didn't work out so good in a public health crisis. So we're going to have additional supply stock. And what we're going to do is we're not going to put that in the same place that we put our throughput stock. It'll congest everything that's moving through the distribution and e-commerce warehouses. So where are we going to put the supply stock? So I've done the numbers. Supply stock is going to add 150 million square feet of new industrial warehouse demand over the next 3 to 5 years. So in the places that have the more north-south flow, that have the ports that are being modernized or up to speed, like your Port Everglades, or you guys have more ports and harbor than any other state, 13 plus of them, that can do easy flow, with our southern hemisphere neighbors. And it's just a good darn thing that you guys had the foresight to build Florida's Inland Empire in Winter Haven in Central Florida between Orlando and Tampa. It could double or triple.
So then, hold on a second. I know this is going to sound really weird, but we got that highway to nowhere that they just approved. Is that going somewhere?
It'll all go somewhere. It'll keep some people
employed. You know what I mean, though? Do we really need that now? Coming out of Tampa, he like comes out of Tampa and then goes up into the middle into like the panhandle and it just goes nowhere.
Yeah.
But is that now going to connect to like I-10 and be a distribution thing?
It is going to be very important. It's not going to go to nowhere. Let me give you a couple of clues. Your Gulf Coast ports are becoming very important. Port of Mobile just completed its new terminal container operations during the COVID outbreak. You've got Walmart that's put its main redundant supply chain to supply all the Gulf Coast states in there. You got a little company, we don't want to survive, or not Airbus, but your port, Port Freeport in Houston. We're going to see more of the supply chain, the auto parts, the food, all the stuff that's going to be made now in Mexico or the southern United States, and it's going to move. And Central Florida is set up with Winter Haven and Plant City and all to basically be the central distribution point. Look at L.A. and Long Beach. Go back 40, 50 years ago and look at the development of the Inland Empire out there. That is what you're going to see develop. It's going to be incredibly bullish for Florida. You're actually going to know what to do with that interior part that doesn't have a view of the beach. And that highway will connect everybody. It's going to be very important to supply chain.
Oh, that's tremendous. That's great information. The infrastructure all in 12 months. That's tremendous. So, Casey, then let's talk a little bit more about the national scope. Okay. Yesterday on TV, talked about prices of some of the items in the store going up dramatically. Bread and grains up 3% in just a month, the highest ever. Is there an end in sight for food prices because food's scarce? Food's hard to get to the right place the right way. And we have the food, it's just getting to the people. I know that the ag commissioner here in the state of Florida and other places is doing it through farmers market and matchup websites, but that's just not enough. How do we redo our supply chain so that Publix gets what it needs at the right times? At the right price.
So let me compliment a Florida company, Publix. I'm so glad that we have them in Georgia. I've given them one of my honorary Red Shoe Economist Greatest Generation type behavior awards. So Publix was one of the leaders, the first ones to say, look at, after we close the stores and get them all cleaned and restocked, let's let seniors and those with underlying health conditions come in first in the morning to take care of them. My local Publix stores, except for sometimes not being able to find Clorox bleach wipes and toilet paper, there is not a doggone thing that they have not had stocked and kept going. Their ability, their business model, their supply chain, how they source fruits and vegetables and meats and whatnot has been absolutely phenomenal. Let me contrast that to Amazon's little grocery store company called Whole Foods, which Amazon threw under the bus and said, well, we don't know if food is an essential service to stock in our warehouses, and we don't have enough cold storage. So we're just going to restock our warehouses with things that are fast moving, in demand, and essential. And so they threw all the small business under the bus. So companies like Shopify are just going through the roof, helping those small businesses, or FedEx is doing a great job. So I want to compliment Publix. I think of all the grocery chains in the country, Publix has stood tall and they've kept their stores done. You go to a Publix today, you don't have to pick a cart out. They already have someone standing there that's wiping it down fresh with bleach and all. They've got 8 to 10 people that are roaming the store that are wiping down everything, every handle that you touch. The stuff is good. It's sourced. So I want to compliment Publix. The second one I want to compliment is a company called Clorox. Clorox could, they just had their recent earnings, and Clorox could have crushed it and made a whole lot more money by selling more of their Clorox wipes and products and bleaches to the retail consumer. They didn't do that. They took a huge amount of their production and they directed it to hospitals, frontline workers, first first responders, nursing homes, and they didn't charge more. In fact, they gave a lot of it away. So there's a company that stood up very well. I want to basically say one of the big differences between 2009 and today is corporate America, for the most part, has stood up and done the right thing. They've maintained medical insurance with people. They've cut stock buybacks. They've cut CapEx programs. They've kept workers going. Corporate America, in more ways than many, has stood up here. So on the food supply piece, we're going to see some major disruptions on the meat side. So go to Florida, get some fresh fish, enjoy your vegetables, try the other protein rather than the other meat. The problem with our meat packing plants is part of why we're reopening. We're not prepared. We don't have the testing. We don't have the wipes. We don't have the sanitization. But here's a contrast. You want to know another company that's just crushing it, contrary to meat packing and producing companies or people like Tyson's? Try PepsiCo. Pepsi owns all your snacks. Most of the Frito-Lay and those type snacks, they're all automated plants. They don't have a lot of workers. They don't get contaminated. So we're going to have to adjust our dietary stuff. Food prices are going to go. But I just wanted to dispel one rumor. The food companies, the food suppliers are not jacking up and gouging. Some of this is demand driven. Some of it is spot shortage. But if we just adjust our behavior, if we don't try to hoard 50 pounds of ground meat every time we go to the store, just take two, just like the toilet paper, I think we can get through it. But corporate America has really stood up here. And I want to compliment Publix, Clorox, and other companies like that.
We're going to take a quick break. And then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about some of the different sectors in real estate and the impact that the change in the supply chain and in our economy will have on them. Office, industrial, talk a little bit about that. Multifamily, single family housing, single family rental, all those things with the guy who sits on the top and talks to all the people all day long. Casey Conway, we're back after this. Reagan, take it away. Right, everybody. I want to mention my good friend Larry Zinn. I want to congratulate Larry and Courtney on their anniversary. Happy anniversary. And something else that's going to have an anniversary too is their new store up on Biscayne Boulevard, right outside of the FIU North Campus. Everybody, when you're looking to buy or lease a car, you want to get every advantage that you can. That's why you have to check out Warren Henry Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, and Jaguar. Up in Gainesville, they've got Audi. Down in the Keys, that store has just about everything you're looking for. Hey, what do they all have in common? Well, they're all exceptional cars, and they all come with a Warren Henry Advantage. That means you get a complimentary service loaner, dynamic wheel protection, key replacement, guaranteed repurchase offer, best value guarantee, and the 72-hour exchange. You can drive your car for 3 days if you don't like it. That's not going to happen. But you can switch it out there. So join me, my mom, and my beautiful wife, Vivian. We're all members of the Warren Henry family. You should be too. Always the best price. Always the best service. Always Warren Henry. And now they've got all kinds of service specials. So go over there, check them out, and make sure you mention my name. Warren Henry. Always the best price. Always the best service. Always Warren Henry.
It's time to stop the hate and spread some love.
You are beautiful. You are smart. You are brave.
It's actually pretty easy.
We have a voice. We have the power.
We have so much strength when we come together. It's your choice.
So choose to be inspired. Choose to be accepting.
Be strong. Be daring. Be awesome. Be kind.
Choose kindness.
Choose kindness.
Choose kindness.
Hey, everybody, if you're looking for a mortgage, give me a call at 305-773-6300. I'm doing hard money loans right now. people who had deals that blew up during the changeover from the last economy to the current economy. They had their deals blow up. Well, I can help. I've got hard money and private lenders that are coming to the table right now. Also, if you need a home mortgage, now's the time. There's old no-doc mortgages left from the Obama administration. Fannie Freddie conforming up to $500,000, I can get your rate well below 4%, the low threes. Give me a call at 305-773-6300. Why? Because when you call me, it's all about you.
Welcome back to Freed on Business. Connect with us on Facebook and Twitter at Jim Freed or at Freed on Business, and on Instagram at Jim Freed One. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
Did that one just for you, Casey. Switch my background. Now I'm in Florida Field, home of the Fighting Gators. I love these Zoom things. So, Casey, back at you. Now we've talked about the supply chain. We've talked about things in general. What do people have to look for? Let's run the product types, because a lot of people are listening. They're all specialists in something. Not everybody's a generalist. So tell me, while I go through all my backgrounds, what do we have coming up?
So let's start with multifamily. So workforce multifamily is going to perform better than student housing multifamily. Our student housing in our 136 college towns that play football are going to really see a big impact. Most of the students had active God or active university clauses in their student housing leases and were able to get out of their leases as they were sent home. So you're going to see, I had it with both my daughters, one at Florida State and one at Alabama. We were able to get out of both of their leases in March and not have to pay rent till August. I think the student housing multifamily is going to be affected much more than the workforce. Multifamily and office are both going to benefit stronger in the suburbs rather than the urban areas. D.R. Horton already told us in earnings, so I read all these doggone earnings, that the single largest buyer traffic they're getting are millennials, professional millennials coming out of the urban areas trying to buy a house. Because, Jimmy, they know rates are free. They need a mortgage. They're listening to your show.
There you go.
And while they still have credit and they still have some cash, they're buying a house and they're afraid of the dense urban areas. So I think we're going to see, just like after World War II, we're going to see an out-migration from the urban cities into the suburbs. And the suburbs are going to benefit greatly on all property types. On office, we learned from Equifax and some other companies that there's going to be a new expense item we're going to find in the budgets. It's called redundancy costs. So companies are going to continue to pay the rent on those office buildings in downtown Miami, but they're going to have redundant suburban locations so the workforce is working remote. One or two times a week needs to have a meeting or a team gathering or whatnot, can go there. They don't have to get back into commuting. They're not going to get on public transportation, not for a while, not till we have a vaccine or an immunity passport. So again, I think suburban office is a real opportunity play. We won't see that the decimation in the urban office, just like after 2009 for 2-3 years when those leases come up for renewal. They're longer in duration. So companies will continue to pay them. They know they're not going to have much chance of subletting, but they'll have redundancy costs. Retail, we're going to reprice retail, whether it's a restaurant or anything else. A new thing that's going to come in, Jimmy, that you'll just love as a good libertarian, is you're not just going to have a fire marshal telling you how many people can be in your restaurant or your retail space. You're going to have a public health official saying, I know the fire marshal said you could have 150 people in this restaurant, but no way. You can only have 80. It's a public health issue. So if I can generate less revenue and I need the same amount of space to space things out, I can't pay the same overall rent. I'm going to have to reprice it. So we're going to see a tremendous repricing in retail and restaurant and experiential retail. It's going to bring the NOI down, which means the value is going to come down. That means adaptive reuse is going to be our best skill set that we can put forth in commercial real estate. How do we put these things back to use? I think telemedicine is going to be a great one. We could see your local branch bank become a telemedicine center with a drive-through where you do your swab and you put it in the tube and you send it through the thing into the lab inside the branch bank in the vault, and they give you your test results. Hotels, we're going to see hotels probably become opportunities for affordable housing. And what are we going to do with those cruise ships? Those could be floating affordable housing opportunities. Industrial, we talked about earlier. I don't know if I left anything out, but those are my thoughts on the big ones.
Wow, that's tremendous. Now, let's do a little bit of thought on what people should be doing, okay? I took a step back. I've been preparing for this for 10 years. I've got my residential mortgage license. a call today. I made a call today to one of my hard money lenders. And then basically when we were done, they said, and can you help me get a mortgage on my house? You know, because everybody should be doing that right now. I think that just like corporations like D.R. Horton amassed cash and did everything they do to be in a most powerful position, I think that the consumer needs to do that too. And the consumer really doesn't know. I think the consumer is still paralyzed. There's not much out there privately that you can do for yourself. So this is just one of the things that you can do. That's why I decided to do it. And everybody I talk to is interested.
You're right. So I talked about adaptive reuse with commercial real estate. We need to adapt that principle to our professional lives. And as we come out of this and we go forward, we need to constantly be reassessing and say, do I want to be one dimensional in my skill set, or do I want to have two or three dimensions to myself just so, or just in case? So one of the things, I've had a couple of thoughts here that I've been promulgating during this crisis. The first one is, everybody should look up and forward, because if you're not looking up and forward, you'll never find light at the end of the tunnel. Now, I will caveat that with not all lights at the end of the tunnel are fresh air in the exit. Sometimes it's just another freight train coming down the tracks, but at least you'll know to get off the tracks and survive to maybe find that real light at the end of the tunnel. The other one is engage in daily what if thinking. This thing is so fluid, and we're seeing so many things happen and change, and Fed intervention and federal fiscal stimulus and taking away all of our privacy, that we literally need to wake up and go to bed saying, what if what they told me and did today changes 180 degrees tomorrow? Because guess what? It's going to go back and look at what happened before. And the last thing, Jimmy, that you live, breathe, and walk the walk on is whatever you do, perform your behavior and your actions in a greatest generation like behavior. They endured so much more than us. World War One, World War Two, the polio outbreak, multiple recessions, you know, energy crises, you name it. And they never groaned or complained. They just beat us kids in the back of that station wagon as we were saying, are we there yet? But you think about it, and that's why I'm very proud of our corporate America. I think more of our corporations, I would say 80% plus, have really behaved in a greatest generation behavior. And if all of us think that way, and before we react, before we bark at somebody, if we would just stop a minute and say, how would a greatest generation deal with this? How would they adapt? How would they adaptively reuse their skills and whatnot? And you've done the right thing, Jimmy. You've kept your skill set diversified and tuned up. And that's one of the things we're going to take away from it. I think we will create a new greatest generation in our millennials. And I think that these millennials are going to come out of this with a different mindset that's less consumer-oriented and more savings-oriented. And I think that one of the things that's going to hit us on the retail side is consumer saving is going to double, triple, or quadruple. We could go back to greatest generation times where they save 20% of their income and instead of less than 5%. So I think we're going to see a huge increase in savings and less consumption.
Well, can you spend one more segment with me, Casey? Because I want to talk about the impact that's going to have on the economy. Because what I'm really hearing is it's back to the future, and it's going to be great.
You know, one of the three parts economist I am is I'm one part David Allen Coe. I'll hang around just as long as you'll let me. You bet. I'll hang around.
Come on. Radio, let's go. We'll have one more segment with Casey Conway, and that's going to be, I'm going to tell you, Casey, it's going to be a therapy session for everybody. We'll be back after this. Casey and I will talk about what we're doing to keep ourselves steady, and the number one word is poise. We're going to present poise and leadership to everybody out there. So, Reagan, take it away. We'll be right back with one more segment with Casey Conway. We're trying to talk about what our experience in the past leads us to believe people need to do in the future. Back after this. Everybody, we're not joking here when we're talking about Warren Henry. That's right. Remember, they have all kinds of great specials. I'm going to go over there, and I'm going to get my car updated right away. And you should, too. When you're looking to buy or lease a car, you want to get every advantage that you can. That's why you have to check out Warren Henry. Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, and Jaguar. They're all exceptional cars. In Gainesville, they have Audi. Down in the Keys, they've got them all. I may go down there and get a Jeep. You know, they're all exceptional cars. They all come with the Warren Henry advantage. That means complimentary service loaner. That means that you get dynamic wheel protection, key replacement, guaranteed repurchase offer, and a best value guarantee, and the 72-hour exchange. So join me, my wife, and my beautiful mom. Oh, I said it backwards. Join me, my mom, and my beautiful wife, Vivian. She's like, right. We're all members of the Warren Henry family. You should be too. Always the best price, always the best service, always Warren Henry.
That was just a post Mother's Day faux pas, so your mom loves it.
It's time to stop the hate and spread some love. You are beautiful, you're smart, you are awesome, and you never have to change for anybody. You have the voice and you have the power. We are so much stronger when we come together. It's your choice, so choose to be inspired. Choose to be accepting, be strong, be brave, be awesome, be daring, be kind. Choose kindness.
That's right, and I choose to be kind too. So give me a call at 305-773-6300 and let me help you stabilize your personal financial situation. Right now, interest rates are real low, and I'm doing residential mortgages. I've done $3 billion worth of commercial real estate, but right now I'm helping my friends navigate the commercial mortgage universe. You think you can call your bank? Wrong. The banks are out of this. 50%+ are now private lenders. I can help folks get Fannie Freddie conforming loans under $500,000 in the threes. I have blended rates for friends that go real low. If you're not perfect, I can help you. No one's going to be perfect. Call me, 305-773-6300. Why? Because when you call me, it's always all about you.
Welcome back to Freed on Business. Connect with us on Facebook and Twitter at Jim Freed or at Freed on Business, and on Instagram at Jim Freed One. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
Yeah, Facebook just hates that I use all that great music. They keep telling me they're muting the music. To them, I say, what do I care? It's all about being live anyway. So here we are in the final segment. We're with my good friend, Casey Conway. Casey and I together have at least 70 years experience, Casey. I got 35. How about you?
Dog years, right. You bet.
So we've been through just a couple of situations like this, and now I want to share some personal insights on what you need to do to just keep it going. Number one, if you don't have a rocket in your pocket and you don't want to get it done, get out of real estate right now, because it ain't going to be easy. All right? Will it be fun? Yeah, it will be fun, actually. Once you get past the fear, you'll be talking to your friends. This is what I do every single day. That's why I keep in touch with Casey. I talk to at least 10 to 12 people a day. I ask them what they're working on. I ask them how I can help. And because, like Casey, I've been diversifying my skill set, usually I got something that can help them. Business interruption, where I consult a real estate consultant for a big international business interruption firm. I got this residential stuff. I got the hard money loans. I got my traditional commercial stuff, which is actually starting to get going again as people find value. So, Casey, what would you advise people to do? You talk to all of them. You're a big at CCIM, from top people all the way you speak at college campuses. You know, what are you telling people?
So I have a Wednesday Insight coming out this afternoon, and I go through, quit focusing on backward-looking information. Look forward. And what are the things that are going to tell you where we're going and when we're going to get there? There are things like, look at the National Federation of Independent Business, what they're collecting from those business leaders real time. When do they start to see things come up? Look at things like auto sales data. You had your great Mike Jackson from Auto Nation on yesterday on their earnings, you know, saying, look at auto sales dropped the first 50% the first 2 weeks of April, but it was only 25% the second 2 weeks of April. And in many parts of the country, we actually have inventory shortages. We had depleted it. So he's saying, I'm a little more optimistic. Look at things like on college and university towns, what they're saying about financial student aid applications. So those things are plummeting as students coming out of high school and even existing college students are saying, you know what, mom and dad's balance sheet has been up. Maybe I don't go back to college. Maybe I opt for the online model and I don't go back and live on campus my last year or two, or even maybe my undergraduate years. Look at the rail time indicators on supply chain. My favorite one, if you want my one indicator to look at as to how we're doing and when we're going to get there, look at the TSA passenger count index. You go on the TSA website, they have a passenger daily count. Going into the COVID all the way up to the 1st of March, we had 2.3 million passengers a day flying through our airports. That collapsed to 80,000 in April. It's, since we started opening the states, we've seen it come back to 200,000. If we don't see the air traffic come back to a million, million and a half range, really by the fall or the end of the year, we're in serious trouble in places like hospitality, tourism, your place like Disney in Florida. So that is going to tell us how we're doing and are we confident enough to travel. That's the one thing I'll tell you is if we can see that thing rise, that'll tell us that we're doing a good job. If not, it's going to tell us we have a long ways to go. One other thing I'll tell you, Jimmy, so one of the things I do is find a good piece of book or a good piece of history to go back and look at. So I've been looking at a lot of Winston Churchill's type stuff during, you know, that was an interesting time in life that he was around for. And so Winston Churchill had a great quote that I've been using, and we can't predict the future. And Winston Churchill knew this. And so he had a quote in 1940 at a friend's funeral, and he said, "It is not given to human beings, happily for them, for otherwise life would be intolerable, to foresee or to predict to any large extent the unfolding course of events." He knew we can't tell the future, but he said, don't give up. He later had a quote that said, "I don't listen to people. I watch their behavior, because behavior doesn't lie." That's why I look at corporate earnings, what the companies are doing. They've quit giving us forward guidance and forward financial ratios, but oh my God, they're telling us great stuff by their behavior. When they cut CapEx, when they furlough people, when they're reopening their plants, when they're not reopening their plants. Southwest Airlines saying, look, we own half of our planes and we can continue to fly to all those places that have a purpose, like in Florida, that people are going to want to go to. So if I look at those, that behavior is what's not lying. So one of my good friends, a good CCIM, Jim Baker, here's his book. He wrote a book, CCIM, he published earlier this year called Confessions of a Commercial Real Estate Broker. And it's written in a way where every day of the year, he tells about something in his life, what he learned, something in history, a good thing, a bad thing. So do you know what happened on this date in 1908, Jimmy? This was the day the National Association of Realtors was founded. This is Realtor Day. You knew that in setting this show up. You know what else is, what his theme is for today, for May 13th? Have a residential mindset. And he understands the importance of housing. And he goes on, he says, if you need a residential professional or broker, here are three or four pieces of advice. But the top two, you live, walk, and breathe, Jimmy. Item number one was pick an individual or a company with a reputation of integrity and honesty, just like your sponsors, just like your car dealer sponsors. Number two, pick somebody that has local knowledge that comes from doing a significant amount of business. That's you, Jimmy. So it's National Realtors Day. Have a residential mindset. Pick someone like Jimmy that has integrity, has local knowledge, just like your sponsors. That would be my big piece of advice. This book is great. Jim Baker, Confessions of Commercial Real Estate Broker. I wrote the foreword. I get nothing from it. My full disclosures. This is just a good piece of book and a good read. Pick something that inspires you every day to look up and forward, do what if thinking, and encourage you to always have behavior that's like a greatest generation.
All I can say is we have more time, but I'm ending it with that. There's absolutely nothing more to say. You know, Casey, I've always tried to work hard. I've got the thing up behind me that I'm holding somebody's hand to help them up. It's something that I do every single day. I try to talk to a young person to coach them. I try to talk to somebody in the industry to give them some insight that I've had. I really work hard at maintaining my interpersonal relationships at home. And I know that in the future, there's great times coming. People need to remember that after that big bad recession we had in 2008, where everybody thought it was all over, we had 10 years of a raging, raging upbeat. And that's probably what's going to happen. I think that if people just look at things overall, it always kind of just evens out. You got to do something different now. But the number one thing you can't do that's different is you got to be true to yourself. You got to provide leadership. You got to show poise.
You're absolutely right. And you keep in mind, sometimes God answers our prayers in strange ways. And I know before COVID, I was complaining about all my travel. I was complaining I was too busy. I was complaining that the world's busiest airport was also the most contaminated and least cleaned airport in Atlanta. I was complaining about my work-life balance and not having to spend as much time at home. So you can blame this whole virus on me. God answered my prayers. I'm not traveling. I'm spending more time at home. I have a better work-life balance. I'm actually working harder than I did before. I start at 5:30 in the morning. I go to 10:30 or 11 at night, but I don't have a commute. I'm at every meal with the family and the kids. So sometimes God answers our prayers. Our environment's better. We're more self-reflective. Maybe we're getting back to our core principles. This will be difficult. Our balance sheets and tangible assets may be hurt, but maybe our intangible assets and our integrity and quality of life will go up.
I agree. Time to really show who we really are. And the way you do that is you share your insights and your strength with others. And that's how I gain strength, is by talking with others. And Casey, we'll end with this one. Casey, I gain strength by talking with you. You're a beautiful person. I really can't tell you how much I appreciate our friendship. I know everybody listening today is going to really take away something. I know I'm going to listen to this one over and over again, just to be able to keep my feet on the ground when I need some strength. And I hope we can bring that to others as well. Casey Conway, thought leader, and gosh, I can only say it this way, heart and soul of the real estate industry. God bless you. I want to thank Todd Jones for introducing us all the way back when.
Yep, you got Todd in there. Thank you for putting Todd in. He's a good guy. You're a good man, Jimmy. And like Winston Churchill said, don't pay attention to what people say. Judge them by the behavior. Your behavior and what you've been through is absolutely stellar. And your sponsors' behaviors and how they do business are absolutely the walk that we should walk. Thank you for all that.
Thank you so much. We're going to end with that. I'm going to just give the usual thing that I give on the way out. I want to give a shout out to our first responders. This is South Florida's longest running business talk show. I want to thank our sponsors, Warren Henry Automotive, the NFL Alumni Association, Carlson Integrated, Creco AI, Turkel Brands, and of course, the Bergstrom Center for Real Estate Studies. I want to thank you, my listener. Please go to our Facebook page, like our show, tell your friends, join our community, give us feedback and comments. Tell us who you want to hear from. Twitter's at Jim Fried and Fried on Business. Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, the website. The website gets thousands of hits. It's tremendous. If you missed today's show, it'll be up on our webpage, freedombusiness.com, probably today. This is Jim Fried for Fried on Business. Look for us on 888. Look for us here on Facebook and everywhere else, all the different platforms, Wednesdays at 12. Why? Because I just love doing this. Remember, the person wants, this is for you, Casey. The person wants to do something, finds a way. The other finds an excuse. Now go out there and make it happen. Casey, thank you for being there. God bless you. God bless America. God bless the Chiefs for you and the Dolphins for me. Reagan, we're done. Take us out.